This is Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We hope you're having a fabulous Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be. Beth, welcome back to the United States of America.
Not just welcome back, welcome back to school, welcome back. This is like August is the month of new beginnings. You get new school shoes, new school sweater, new teachers, new classrooms, new lease on life, new grade, new schedule for the evening, new sports. It's beautiful.
It is the beginning of football season. We've already had that discussion. This is the year the Cleveland Browns win it all.
You think so?
No. But I have to say that's the beginning of every year. Let's make a bet.
Yeah,
what do you want to bet?
If they win it
chocolate
all, what would
malt.
You like me to... Oh, chocolate malt.
United Dairy Farmers.
I might
Farmers.
Lose on purpose just so that happens.
Well, I mean, either way, we're going to get a chocolate malt, one of us.
Okay, it's a deal. That's my favorite kind of
what's
bet.
The bet?
The win-win. I mean, I don't know. Something.
I'll bet you the Browns are better than the Bengals. Is that a good bet?
That's an unrealistic bet. That's a dreamer's bet, okay. But I'm all in.
Anyway. Hey, welcome back. It's beautiful weather here. You're not in Monterey.
I'm here.
You're home in Cincinnati, Ohio.
No, I like it. I like being here in Cincinnati at this time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like not so hot.
I don't know what's happened. It's sort of like San Diego, end of July, beginning of August. It's been unbelievable.
Jesus is kissing the Midwest.
That's
and
right.
We're just taking
That's
it.
Right. So for you people like in Phoenix.
We're sorry.
Yeah, you know, those places. Phoenix, I was reading the other day, just way hot there. I mean,
but you know what? They're used to it. Their blood is thin. They probably, you know. People like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that they're used to 105 or whatever it is today. That's perfect.
Hey, and one of the things I'm excited about today's show is we're going to talk about movies. And I kind of like movies. I hear you like movies, too.
I love movies. Love
Do you
movies?
Like to watch, yes. like, when's the last time you watched, like, a doubleheader? Like, you walked out of one theater right into the next one?
I don't think ever. I think I went to a drive-in a couple of summers ago where you got two movies for the price of one.
Oh, we'll have to totally do that. I mean, that you have to, like, just... acknowledge the fact that you're making a significant financial investment in your entertainment.
Well, I mean, if you drop $20.
I mean, so fun, right?
And if you buy the large popcorn and the large drink at most places, you get free refills.
Would you want, like, the comedy first or the action first or the drama first?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know.
Okay, well, think about it.
I think I would rather end on something thoughtful. So I'd rather have, like, the drama or whatever last.
Okay, and the funny one first, huh?
Funny one or action one first.
I like movies
that sit with you for a while, that you wake up the next day and you're like,
I wonder what that character's still doing. Do you think
right.
that?
Well,
have you ever prayed for a character?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Totally
Come
have.
On.
I have.
We've had this discussion. That's just ridiculous.
I mean, it just happens involuntarily. I'm just like, oh, sweet Jesus, please be with them.
They're fake.
Yeah, but that doesn't help. I mean, it's how I help myself realize, like, he didn't really just die. She's not really being tortured.
Okay.
Her heart is not really broken.
See, I enjoy a good movie, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm thinking about, like, hey, I wonder what that would apply to some area of my life or people that I know. Not actually that I would pray for the character.
The idea is what you're liking.
Of a film.
Well, I read this study once that women actually put themselves in the storyline. So, like, they think... like, what would I do if that happened to me? What would I... like, they emotionally enter into the storyline.
Well, I do that. I'm not a woman.
Okay, well, show your feminine
so,
side.
So most, if the percentages would say...
the more sensitive portion of our population thinks to themselves, what if that happened to me? And where would I be? And what would I do? And how would I go? And what would I, you know, how to respond? And men are usually typically analyzing the idea of it or the... how big is the explosion? Or I don't know what matters.
When do I get more popcorn? That's what they're worried about. Can we eat all of this gigantic popcorn before halfway through so that I can go get some more?
Because it's free refill.
That's free. That's right. That's why you buy the gigantic one. Right. So
did you see any fun summer movies?
You know, the best movie I saw over the summer was, and it's still out, I think, in some places, is called The Way, Way Back. It was awesome. This sort of coming to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Coming of age.
Coming of age movie, kind of a young teenage boy. He's like 14. Steve Carell's in the movie, and he's the bad guy. You know, the guy from The Office, he's usually very funny, and he's the mean dude.
Are you waiting the whole time for him to crack a joke, or do you buy the
he's good at it. He's good at it.
He's a good bad guy.
He's a good bad guy. So it was a great movie. I liked it. So I didn't get to see as many movies as I usually do.
I've seen one movie this summer.
One?
One. I saw Red 2, Retired and Extremely Dangerous 2. As you can tell, I probably didn't make the choice.
Red 2.
But here's my favorite thing. I walk in with my teenage children, and we are by far the youngest people in the theater. You know?
Well, it's like all the old, old being like 50 and 48. But all those action people.
It was
Bruce Willis.
I loved their, you know, they laughed at all the age jokes. And I mean, I think Bruce Willis is still pretty funny, actually. And
he is pretty funny.
Mary Louise Parker was hilarious in it. And I, you know, it was, I definitely did not wake up the next day thinking about it, but it was really funny.
Here's the key. Did you see the preview for the next movie with Katniss in it?
I think that was our first on-air fight. And those of you who are not loyal listeners, maybe I do not recall.
I just had to poke at you a little
air,
bit.
Rob said, I think you should check out this new film called Hunger Games. And so I'm thinking, okay,
my
well,
daughter liked it. She read all the books.
I generally appreciate his recommendations. I went to it and thought to myself,
this one did not work.
We are going to go from Genesis to Revelation still tonight, children, so that we can erase the memory of this horrendous flick from your brain. I'm so sorry. We took communion when we got home. I made them all get rebaptized when they got home. I was like, oh, sweet people, we're fasting the
rest I'll be
of the
seeing
day.
The second one with my daughter, I'm sure,
so sorry
and
you for
will
you.
Not.
I will pray for your soul
okay.
in the meantime.
All right.
Children eating children, hell no.
We should probably,
could that be okay?
We should probably be, we should probably let people know who's going to be on the show. Joe Boyd, Brad Wise. Joe Boyd's been on the show before. He's one of our old favorites.
Yes, he is.
He's got a new movie coming out.
Strange Brand of Happy,
and the trailer's awesome. I saw the trailer recently. It looks funny. It looks like one of those meaningful movies that when it's over, I'd wake up the next day, not pray for the character.
You'd wonder what
but
those guys
I would,
are doing.
I'd be like, huh, that was an interesting movie. Let me think more about that.
Yeah, I'd like Rebecca St. James is the one of the co-stars in it, and I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about her. But I like movies that you can, well, like I already said, like you can picture yourself in. And you watch the trailer and you think, like, I could be her friend. Maybe I could even be her in that story.
Right.
And one thing I'm going to ask him about is, how to produce, you know, there's that big conversation, of course, do you produce Christian art or art that is produced by Christians? And I think they would probably argue this is art that has been done by Christians. It's not, there's no gospel presentation in the film.
Yeah, it's not overtly Christian, I don't think.
But it's something that you could watch and recommend to other people, and it would produce conversation, you know, that hopefully would inspire their day, just like our radio show.
Unbelievable.
That's why.
Then after the break, Brian Stege, an old friend of mine, a new friend of yours.
Yes, he
is. Is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about a documentary that we're making together.
Yes,
you
we are.
And me.
Because we like movies.
We like movies, and so it'll be interesting to hear Brian, how he got sort of plugged into this. He's a professional photographer, pretty well-respected photographer in the United States. He's kind of made the move to making documentary films, and so we made one, and we're going to talk about that, and it'd be pretty cool. So I think a pretty good show. I don't know why anybody would like change the station or stop listening.
Because we're going to give you conversations today that will inspire your day.
We hope so. We hope so. Anything else? We got 2 minutes left. Anything big happening?
I was.
You got a new book coming out.
I do have a new book coming
out.
That's
new.
Yeah, it is absolutely. Tales of the Ones Let Out comes out in January of this year. I'm telling a story. Gosh, from Kenya, and I'm telling this
in January. I thought, like, I guess you had a due date or something in September.
I'm like
waiting for the September date. Like, I want a copy of the book.
That's when it finally goes to print, and then it actually comes out in bookstores in January.
January, all right.
So that'll be good. But yeah, it's got great stories of what people are doing around the world, and it's always so inspiring to me. Frankly, I listen to people's stories and think. I mean, I've been thinking lately about the difference between first world problems and third world problems. Uh-huh. You know, like your first world problems, like, darn, my car battery didn't start. So now I'm going to, you know, get another one at the store down the road so that my perfectly good vehicle will run maybe an hour off of my schedule. But still, you know.
That is definitely a first world problem.
That is definitely a first world problem.
We had I'll say this real quick. We had an argument with my daughter over the summer about whether she could color her hair. She's 15. Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't happening at our house. I mean, lots of reasons. But anyway, that's a first world problem.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Oh, yeah, the world's falling apart. I can't color my hair. You know, that's not
it's
a big deal.
Be
so
fine.
The book is not about first world problems.
Yeah, one of my neighbors was like, oh, you're from Mexico. What kinds of things did you happen? And we were telling them that. One of the things we appreciate now about the United States is that electricity works all the time.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I am Rob Hall. That's Beth Guckenberger. And Joe Boyd, Brad Wise, the creator, director, everything you ever needed to know from Rebel Pilgrim Productions, will be on us. Talk about their film Strange Brand of Happy right after the break. We'll see you then.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with Back to Back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through Back-to-Back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the Back-to-Back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shailaja. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. We hope you're having a great Saturday wherever you happen to be. And we're welcoming back an old friend's been on the show before, Joe Boyd, and his co-creator in mischief, I would imagine, Brad Wise. Let me say before we get rolling, Joe Boyd is the president and managing partner. Brad Wise, the chief creative officer of Rebel Pilgrim Productions, and they got a new film coming out, and then we're going to talk about it.
We absolutely are. All I was going to say is I just read a report about people making up their titles, and one of my questions to Brad might be, did you create your own title, Chief Creative Officer?
That's a pretty cool thing.
Well, I mean,
I'd like to be that.
Who wouldn't want that on your business card?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Brad. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Welcome to the show. Hey, tell us a little bit about this new film that you have coming out, Strange Brand of Happy, and how our listeners can find out a little bit more about it.
Sure. Strange Brand of Happy is a romantic comedy that's faith-friendly and stars Rebecca St. James and Academy Award winner Shirley Jones. It's coming limited release to theaters nationwide, opens September 13th. It's in about 40 to 50 different cities, and we're trying to add a few more, but that's it. We're excited. It'll be the best movie in the history of movies, from what I understand.
I mean, I love hyperbole. Tell us a little bit about the premise of the film. How did it all percolate in your brain until it came on screen?
Yeah, I guess I can answer that question. This is Brad. You know, it's a story about an aimless bachelor who loses his job that he never really loved, and he kind of starts going through an early midlife crisis where he has to figure out what he wants to do with his life, and he runs into a life coach, and she starts helping him out, but he kind of starts falling for her, and then he realizes that his boss is chasing her as well, his ex-boss who fired him, and then kind of the love triangle thing comes about, and the old folks at a retirement home where they're volunteering, they recognize this drama, and they kind of goad the boys into chasing the girls, but you know, all of that, it's just a fun, funny film, but underneath it all is some heart where this guy, he's kind of an agnostic, I guess, and he's coming to meet some folks who are exposing him for the first time, maybe, that there might be a God and that he might have plans for their life, and that he has some skills that he's been a little afraid to chase after, and that these folks are encouraging him to go after that. So for me, it's a movie about purpose that'll make you laugh.
I'm interested. You know, you used the phrase faith friendly. So, you know, I think most of our audience is pretty commonly can see, you know, one side of this argument or other, the overtly Christian film that may have limited opening and the distinctly not Christian film. Tell us a little bit about how this faith-friendly part comes to be and what our audience can expect from coming.
Yeah, we, you know, we're Christians who make movies, and so we like our movies to have a little bit of hope, but we don't necessarily try to make Christian movies, so I think about it like some Christian filmmakers believe that God wants them to sort of do a sermon to other Christians through film, and I think that's a really noble, great thing. We just feel like God wants us to make movies that people who aren't Christians might come to and feel comfortable and yet engage in a conversation afterwards. So I had had a pretty good job this summer. I've been traveling the nation, speaking at a different church every weekend about the movie. And what I've been telling everyone is, you know, this isn't a movie for Christians. It's a movie for Christians to bring their non-Christian friends to. So we hope it just starts conversations all over the place.
In the first segment, Rob and I were talking about our favorite kinds of movies, and the kinds of movies that Rob said that he most gravitates towards are the kind that the next morning you wake up and you're still thinking about them, and you want to kind of discuss the premise with whomever you're sharing your day with. And so tell me, like, what kinds of conversations are you hoping to inspire in the aftermath between the people that saw the movie with people who, you know, they want to get on social media and discuss some of the themes? What kinds of conversations are you hoping happen in the aftermath?
Yeah, I think for me, I want the kind of conversations that I end up having sitting around a campfire with my friends at night, which is, you know, why are we here on this planet? Like, if there is a God, like, does he care about why we're here? And does he have specific plans for our life? So those sort of those big questions in life. I love when people start figuring out, like, that their passions and the things that they gravitate towards might have a larger purpose, and that there's maybe a bigger reason that they are into the things that they're into, and that they can use them to bring the kingdom in some way. So my hope would be that they start having kind of those purpose-filled questions and conversations.
Since movies are something that most of our listeners have all engaged in at some point, we all enjoy, especially the summertime and the back-to-school time, all the fun date nights and movie nights. Tell us, you know, like, we're having a chance to have a behind-the-scenes conversation with a real-life, you know, writer, director, producer, actor. Like, what was some of the favorite parts of making it?
Well, my favorite part, of course, was directing Joe Boyd. He was
I had always wanted the chance to work with director Brad Wise. I think... I play the lead in this movie, and it's a strange thing to produce and be the lead actor. You were in different hats. But once production started, I was able to not think about the whole business side of it, the producing side, and just be an actor, which is fun for me. And then getting to do scenes with an Academy Award winner and her being complimentary towards me was probably what I'll take away most, from the artistic side. Shirley Jones is just, she's been in 77 movies or something like that.
And, wow.
She's kind of a legend, and she's known as being Mrs. Partridge to a generation. But before that, she was a top five movie star in the 50s and 60s in the musical era, and won an Academy Award in 1960 for Helmer Gantry, which is sort of a faith movie. And you just have those surreal moments where you realize I'm looking into the eyes, acting on camera with the legend. It was pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah, I think for me it was letting Joe and our other actor, Ben Keller, like, after we get, like, the initial takeout where they sort of stuck to the script, you know, I'd kind of give them some freedom and let them just sort of improvise and freelance a little bit. And so always after, when we should have yelled cut, I would just let them keep going. And the stuff that they came up with after the take almost always had the whole crew laughing. And we have some, you know, behind the scenes outtakes videos on our website that you can check out, that as I watch those, they just bring back a bunch of good memories of letting them do their thing.
Hey, tell us about the website. I've seen the trailer. It looks like a great film. So I'd love for people to be able to see that. I assume that's on the website and your outtakes. Where can they find that?
Yeah, it's strangehappymovie.com. And there's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of videos and behind-the-scenes photos and production stills and ways that people can get involved and help us spread the word. There's some small group discussion guide stuff on there. If you're a small group and you want to use this film as basically an event that you can all go out to together, and then for the next 4 weeks we have discussion guides up there that you can use this film as basically curriculum for your small groups. So it's all at strangehappymovie.com.
It's all free too, so if you have a small group on a budget, it's okay. So we're not trying to make any money on that stuff, just giving out as many resources as we can to churches and leaders that want to use this to start conversations.
And there's some really specific ways our listeners can help bring this film to their hometown. Can you help us understand the advocacy role we can play as believers to help bring this story to our community?
Absolutely. We're the very first movie to use a concept called Seatzy, SEATZY.com. And it's a little bit like the Kickstarter concept for movies. We have a distribution deal that gets us in about 35 movie theaters nationwide. But we can add to that in any city that wants us to come. We just need people to pre-reserve 500 tickets. So if you've done Kickstarter, it works almost the same way. If you haven't done it, basically works in that you can pick a city that you want to go to, and if you get 500 people to commit to buy tickets, if it hits 500, then they get charged when it hits 500 and the movie opens in their city. If it gets stuck at 499 and we don't get to 400 or 500, then nobody gets charged and the movie doesn't come. So it's sort of you kind of give your credit card as a promise that you will pay if the movie comes to town. We're doing that in several cities. I'm actually in New York City right now, promoting, trying to get it off the ground here, and we're hopeful that it catches on here. We got a few weeks to go.
That is a great idea. I love Kickstarter, and I did not know that was something that you all were thinking about doing, something similar. Tell me how I can do that again.
You can always go back to our website, strangehappymovie.com. Or you can go to our partner Seatzy, and it's SEATZY.com. Either one will get you there.
Very nice. And the movie comes out when?
September 13th.
September 13th. So even if after September 13th people, there's some buzz and they want to get it in their town, they can still go to Seatzy and get it rolling even after the premiere date?
For a few weeks, yeah, that's yeah. Probably going to work. So the main thing is just, I know I sound like a broken record, just put our website on your favorites and go there every hour. And so you'll know exactly what's going on. But there'll
right.
be a ton of updates coming the week of September 13th. And then in some cities we'll be playing hopefully longer than 1 week. So you'll just want to stay up to date kind of day to day through the month of September.
Now, Brad, as the chief creative officer, what kind of other creative stuff do you got coming down the pike? I know that probably, you know, your mind doesn't shut off. So this is kind of, you're just doing the ramp up to this. There's probably something else stirring in your mind. What is it?
Yeah, I wrote three scripts last year that kind of are all in development. We're working on some short form sort of music video animation type stuff. I'm definitely itching to create again. I've been in the promotion side of making a movie is fun, but I'm definitely ready to, you know, dig into a story and start creating again.
And we just wrapped a movie a couple weeks ago called Hope Ridge that'll come out next summer. It's a drama centering around a teenager dealing with his father's suicide. It stars Lulu Stewart, who's one of the Twilight kids all grown up, who's an awesome actor, is going to be in the next X-Men movie, and with Kevin Sorbo. So we're excited
Great.
To get that in the theaters about a year from now.
Absolutely.
It sounds really exciting, frankly, that someone can be creative, have an idea, want to reflect their values, start conversations, and then just trust God for all the rest of it. I mean, if nothing else, that is inspiring to hear, that you all have chased after what God has for you, and the result are these incredible creations that we get to enjoy and share with our friends. So thanks just for following what God had for you.
Yeah, thanks.
We have this friend named Beth Guckenberger who's pretty good at that.
No.
So we
hey,
just kind of watch what she does.
Yeah, absolutely. Jens, thanks so much for being on the show. Nothing but the best with the film. I can't wait to see it. And we'll get our listeners to hit up our Facebook page or our website, connect to yours, and see if we can get some more cities out there. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks.
That's exciting. I mean, I've seen the trailer. Like I said, it looks like a great film. I'm planning to see it. So
I was going to say, and just like I said to them, not only am I excited about seeing this movie, it's just fun to hear people who've chased after their dreams and are trusting for something they can't do on their own.
Yep. And we're going to talk some more about that. Brian Stege, friend of mine, new friend of Beth's. We're working on a documentary film, and it's really been a great process. So we're going to talk about that after the break. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We will be back in about 3.5 minutes. So, you know, join us then.
Do you you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach, but more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Beth and Rob, I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger.
Yes, it is.
We hope you're having a fabulous, unbelievably great Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be.
I am so inspired by those folks on the last segment. I mean, I'm going to say it for now the third time. They had an idea. They felt inspired by Jesus to do it. They're taking it out there, and they're just letting him do the rest.
That's right.
I mean, if nothing else, listening audience, think about that. What is God asking you to do that's bigger than what you can do on your own?
And the deal is, you know, we always kind of clamor around when I'm kind of in Christian circles. They clamor around, but how come there's no quality films? How come there's nothing for us to take our friends to? You know,
here we go.
And bam, I mean.
It's like they heard us all talking.
What could you want? What else could you want?
And it's going to be like romantic comedy, good date night. Doesn't sound like a single thing is blowing
That's
up.
Right. Take your friends.
Conversational. Yeah. Right. You even have free small group material.
Absolutely.
I mean, I like it.
They've laid it out on a platter.
I mean, all they need to do is give us an app, and we are like a hashtag. We are like all
I'm sure
in.
There'll be some hashtag. Okay. Hashtag strange happy or something will be the
Let's start one if they don't have one.
We could. Okay. That's the beautiful thing about Twitter. You can just do it yourself.
And I can even make it up.
You could.
I might.
Hey, old friend now on the show with us, somebody I've known for a long time, Brian Stege. And he is, as I mentioned in the previous segment, he's a pretty well-respected photographer around these United States of America.
It does sound like that.
But he has made the leap to making some documentary films, and we just happen to be doing one with him. So what better place for him to come on and talk about the movie than here with us, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Brian, are you out there?
Yo, yes, sir, I am here.
Good to talk to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, give us a little premise about the documentary and sort of how we stumbled into it.
Well, premise, our working titled 101 out of 163 million is just the story of one young lady's life and how she has gone through her life as a basically as an orphan. And when you take that number, 163 million, and try to process that in your mind, it's too big of a number to process. But that's the number that's sort of out there for how many orphans there might be on the planet, which is huge. Yeah. And in trying to make a documentary that helps people understand what that is, it's one person can tell the story. And we found a young lady, I should say Beth found a young lady that is perfectly suited to help do that. And we just thought that that would be a great story to tell in order for people to understand what's going on out there in the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. And to give people some perspective, you and I were talking. We're trying to figure out how can people get their arms around 163 million. What were some of the ways that we kind of put that number into perspective?
Well, that and the number is so huge. We had to quantify it, and we found out that. That's the equivalent to the number of children that are in the United States of America. So if you take 163 million, approximately, of course, and under the age of 18, that's how many kids there are in the U.S. So just imagine if the entire population of the U.S. was that. That's just a staggering number.
You know, Brian, when I was describing to this young lady exactly what we were going to be asking of her in the documentary, I was describing to her the concept of an embedded journalist, and I was telling her I could get up there and say, this is what the orphan experience is like, this is what is going on around the world, and it could be, to a certain level, effective, but it is exponentially more effective when someone who has lived that experience just speaks from that. And so I was wondering, for you, if you could give our listeners an idea of what kind of impression did she make on you as she began to not answer any kind of necessary script, but just she just started to unpack her life story for those of us who were there in the filming crew? And what was that like to be a part of that?
Well, the initial impression was, you know, here's a young lady that seems pretty normal. I'm wondering what's going on. And, of course, there's a language gap. I'm not much of a Spanish speaker, but it didn't take but more than a day or two of spending time with her and listening to her story and wanting her to tell us what it's like that I was blown away, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was so moved by how mature she was and able to convey her faith, convey her story. And she did it with purpose, and she did it with energy, and she did it with perspective so much so that I was basically in a puddle of tears for a week. I just couldn't believe that someone that doesn't even know me would be more than happy to open up her life story that was, frankly, so challenging. I just, you know, I can't relate to that. That's not where I came from. But she was more than happy to say, you know, this is what it's like, and I want to make a difference. So I'm going to open up for you so that you can take this out there. She was incredible. I really was in a puddle of tears all week. And it so has moved me since, you know, we started the initial shooting that I'm just like on fire. I can't believe how awesome that was as an experience for me. I stayed up late with Rob pretty much every night while we were talking through this. And at the end of the process, we said, Rob just said, you know, we just got to see that little backside of God's glory this week. Mm. It was totally amazing. I was just blown away. Still am blown away. We're excited for her. We're excited to see where she goes. We're excited to continue to tell the story. But, man, she's very impressionable. She's very cool.
You know, Beth hooked us up with Shannon. And initially, Beth, tell us a little bit about we did this with the understanding we're going to produce a documentary, a short documentary for Back-to-Back for a specific purpose, which we're still going to do. Tell us, Beth, a little bit about how that sort of played out. What was the initial purpose for the documentary?
You know, one of the things that I want to do, if I could, I'd take everybody on a mission trip so they could shake hands and love and hug and see and experience and go and serve and among God's least of these. But the truth is that's not even logistically practical, and not even everybody even knows they have that interest or that heart for that. So instead of bringing people to where the orphans are, we're going to bring someone who represents them all to the people. And my hope 100% is that people who get to interact with her through the film will see, you know, she could be my sister, she could be my neighbor, she could be my girlfriend, she could be my, you know, she could be my best friend. She's just a normal girl who likes normal things like everybody else, but was born with this incredible disadvantage. And really how the Lord has picked her up and walked her at that point.
Yeah, initially, if I recall, the documentary was for a specific event Back-to-Back was going to host on Orphan Sunday. And before I get to a particular question about that, Ryan, tell us a little bit about Shannon. I mean, we're talking about her as if we don't know her. Tell us a little bit about Shannon, how old she is, you know, some of her characteristics that we got to know well while we were there.
Well, Shannon is an 18-year-old young lady who has just graduated from high school this, you know, a couple months ago, and is headed on to the next phase of her life. She'll be attending university in the fall, which is just a humongous deal. I don't remember the percentages of kids that get to go on to university, but it's probably in the single digits in Mexico. She's very casual. She's very organic. She's very relatable. She has the respect of her peers. She's totally into music. I mean, I think she had her headphones strapped on 50% of the time while we were working, and we'd have to remind her to take them off. I mean, she's totally like that. She thinks before she talks. She's easy to be around. She's a night owl. She's just like one of my two teenage boys that I've had. You know, it's like, wait a minute, this seems so normal. And just like Beth said, she had such an incredible disadvantage. But, you know, it's like she's my daughter. She was just that, she's that kind of age category, and she's fantastic. She has, everybody loves her. She's friends with everyone. She's just one of those, just a kid that's great. You love to have her in your neighborhood, your next-door neighbor, your friend. Absolutely.
You know, it was interesting when we were trying to decide on a subject for the film, lack of a better word, a person to represent 163 million orphans. Most people's first thought about orphans is someone under 10, 8 years old, living in an orphanage, a children's home somewhere in the world. And we purposefully chose someone that had lived through that, but had sort of come out the other end as a highly functioning, educated representative of what orphans, as we think of, can become when you know, sort of the church or the people around them pour into them, just like our own children, what they might become. And you know, so most people, when they see the film, they may be thinking, "Oh, wait, this is an 18-year-old." You know, high school graduate. I mean, that's pretty crazy. When we come back from the break, Brian, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, that moment when we decided, or you thought in your mind, this is a lot bigger project than what we had thought of initially. There was a time, I think, somewhere in the week of shooting where we said, wow, this is going to be much bigger than the 15-minute documentary we thought. So when we're back, can you talk about that after the break?
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, Beth Guckenberger, along with Brian Stege, talking about One in 163 Million, the new documentary. And we'll be back in just about 60 seconds.
Who's Weaving Your Story? The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption. The kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part Leader's Guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
With Beth and Rob, I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. We're talking with Brian Stege, photographer extraordinaire. And
today's all about the movies.
It is, and he's made the move.
It's making me hungry for some popcorn.
In addition to being a photographer, he's now making the move a little bit to doing some documentaries. So welcome back, Brian.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hey, you know, when we were shooting this film, One in 163 Million, with Shannon, there came a time, I think, when all of us, Beth, myself, you, the people on the crew, kind of went, holy cow, this is something pretty extraordinary. Was there a moment or a day or something where you said, wow, this is more than I bargained for?
Well, I think there was definitely a moment. It was probably 4 or 5 days in, where we had already interviewed a lot of folks and trying to wrap our heads around Shannon's story. We'd talked to her several times. We'd gone all about shooting different things. And it was on Saturday night, in fact, and it was really late, so we were obviously all tired. And there was a moment that we were working on something with Shannon in it, and the light bulb just kind of went off and said, this is just much bigger. Shannon was making herself vulnerable once again, and just laying it all out there for us, and in such a way that it was just totally believable. It wasn't acting. It wasn't, you know, I got to tell my story. She just began to be herself once again. And I even think Beth said it. I think Beth was sitting in a chair and said, "Now I get it. This is just going to be much bigger than we thought." Because Shannon all week long was processing the fact that she was potentially going to represent 163 million kids across the globe. I'm sorry, it gets me a little worked up right there. So it's easy for me to do. And she was vulnerable all week. And she was way beyond tired. She had been sick, and she just kept going, and she put her heart into it. And there was that moment, and everybody just saw it, and they're like, man, this can be bigger. This can be better. This can really tell a story that can affect a lot of people if we do it right. So I think it was Saturday night, probably 11 o'clock after a full day, that probably got me.
Yeah.
I'd run out of handkerchiefs. I didn't know what to do. So
didn't have any tears left.
Yeah,
I think.
Right, yeah.
One of the things Rob and I talked about a couple weeks ago on the show was this idea of vulnerability and how critical it is to all things creative, but certainly to all things relational. And for me, when I realized that everyone was offering their vulnerability, that you were being vulnerable, that the crew that was following your lead was being vulnerable, that Shannon for sure was being vulnerable, that the people we interviewed were showing that side of themselves, when we realized how tender everybody was approaching the subject, you realized nobody's selling anything. Nobody's putting their best foot forward. There's absolutely no posing. There's no agenda. This is just human life sharing their experience in an effort for us all to understand something that's frankly unfathomable to most of us. And it was in that moment that I realized that she was coming to the table with health and growth that she shouldn't even really have technically. And that I knew that this is something that we want a lot of people to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the last part.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the last part of our team sort of that we put together is the editor. And I don't know how much you want to mention about that, but, you know, really the editor of the film is the person who puts together the story in a moving way. And we kind of lucked out on who that is.
Yeah, that's a great story in and of itself. We have Tate Webb, who is, at least in these parts and nationally, very well respected. He's had some films that he's edited at Sundance. He works on feature films, both in editing and color grading. So he's kind of a big deal. And I had made a phone call to him just randomly out of the blue. I thought, you know, Tate, I'll ask Tate because he's a friend of mine. He's worked on a couple pieces, but he's so busy. Just there's no way he's going to have time. But maybe he can tell me, point me in the right direction to somebody who will. Turns out that at that moment that I had called him, he had decided that day to leave the editing house and go out on his own because God had asked him. And the next phone call to God was us calling him to edit this little film. And
Ryan, we're having a little trouble with our connection. The story about Tate, yeah, the story about Tate is that he actually, his wife was reading Beth's book, Reckless Faith. They were discussing whether or not he should leave his job. Brian texts him at that sort of very moment of their conversation, saying, "Hey, I'm going to do this little thing for a group called Back to Back. You probably don't know who they are." And Tate immediately responded, "I'm in." And so to have somebody who has had films at Sundance Film Festival, who is well known in the business, to say, "Oh yeah, I'll edit your documentary," is just enormous.
Beautiful.
I can't even really say how huge it is. So, hey Brian, if you're still there, if you still got
yes,
a connection,
sir.
where is the, you know, we've been talking about, wow, this is a lot bigger than we thought it would ever be. Where does the project go from here?
Well, the next thing we're going to do is since we're going to expand, we've got our ideas on the table. And we're going to start laying that storyboard out and make this as big as we can and go through what we already – we're currently editing what we've already shot and take that film to as big and as broad and as powerful as possible. 15 minutes may not – Shannon's only lived 18 years, but she's packed a lot into those 18 years, and there's – a lot more information and a lot more compelling ideas that can be conveyed through this film than just simply saying the facts and the feelings that we all go through. So we're going to be working on phase two. Shannon has plans that she's working on that we would love to include into it. And we're going to try to, you know, make it for the big orphan summit next springtime, I believe, and see if we can't have that ready for everyone to check it out then.
And then, similar to Kickstarter, I believe that there's a way for our listeners to be involved if they want to help support that film. There's a website where they can go and kind of check out all the details and perhaps even provide some financial support.
That's right. I'm going to put it back up on Kickstarter, and we're going to be seeking financial support that way. We're obviously not making a dime off of this, but we're going to just put it to the travel expenses because we've got places to go with this, and it'll be out of 163 million. So there's probably not a lot of numerical titles up there on Kickstarter. So look for that.
Yes.
In the next
that might make
weeks.
Us first.
Yes.
There'll be a little sizzle reel or a little trailer for you to check out, so you can see where we've progressed to this point. And then if you want to, there'll be different levels of donation if you're interested. Of course, praying is always the number one category there that people can help out. And I'm super stoked. And the word that Beth used, tender, is perfect for how we felt. So because of all that, we're ready to go. Working on it right now, in fact.
Yeah.
Brian, I just appreciate, again, I think we've been talking all hour about what it means when someone has a certain creative gifts and then hears the Lord ask them to offer them, and then they do it, and then they just trust God for all the rest. And you are a perfect example of that. So thank you for being willing to offer your ability, your contacts, your network, your heart, your giftedness, and we'll just see where Jesus takes it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Brian. Great talking to
you. You're welcome. Nice to talk to you guys.
All right. Blessings. Talk to you later.
I do mean that, what I'm saying. I mean, listeners, you have so many gifts. You are creative. You're analytical. You're handy. You're whatever. Ask Jesus how he could use those gifts and then just offer them. Who cares what the result is? You're not responsible for it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And this project just, it was amazing to be a part of. And, you know, as we said, the first goal was to produce something for Back-to-Back that they could use here regionally, Cincinnati, Indiana, Kentucky, you know, those areas for Orphan Sunday awareness event that you're having. And the idea now really is that we could create something 45, 50 minutes long, a major documentary that could be shown, you know, mm-hmm. anywhere in the United States. And so Shannon was amazing, and it was obvious that the Lord was wanting to do something mm-hmm. through her story mm-hmm. to bring the story of orphans to a greater population.
And there's just something about a true story, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you can watch a fictional film and think about the idea, but when you watch a true story, it's just like, man alive, it's just inspiring in nature. And the true story of someone whose life experience might be difficult for us to relate to, and the vulnerability, the documentary style film really lends itself to us getting kind of behind the scenes. And I really do hope and pray that it will convey that picture of the life experience of an orphan.
Absolutely. And I think as we were talking about it, you know, there's a lot of films about a subject, mm-hmm. about a person, but I don't know of very many films where, especially in this genre, where it is from the perspective mm-hmm. of the orphan.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon is telling her own story. Mm-hmm. She is trying to interview and discover sort of how she grew up mm-hmm. in an orphanage, mm-hmm. how she moved through that, the struggles with her family and her mother in particular, just some amazing touch points along the way. It really is a compelling story, not about an orphan, but an orphan telling her own story.
And for her just to talk about some of the really key people that stepped into her story at different parts of her life and the way in which it kind of changed the trajectory of it. And that's part of the inspiration, because God may be leading us to step into the life of someone around us, and we have no idea what the impact of our story will be on someone else's.
Absolutely. Hey, great. I mean, what the heck? Great show. Joe Boyd, Brad Wise, Brian Stegis.
Go watch a movie.
That's your
Saturday.
Homework.
Go watch
a movie tonight.
Tell,
you know,
someone your favorite movie.
That's right.
Get on Netflix.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show next week. Brenda Garrison, very timely. We're going to be talking about her book, Love No Matter What. It has to do with sending your kids off to college.
Mm-hmm. What happens when they make decisions you don't agree with?
That's exactly right.
And that would never happen.
Bill Giovanetti will also be on Secrets to a Happy Life. So another great show next week.
I'm excited.
So welcome back to the United States.
Thank
Makes
you
it a little
much.
Bit easier to
thanks
do
very
this.
Much.
Hey, thanks everybody out there for listening to the show. We're hoping you have a great Saturday, that you go out and have some conversations and...
And I mean, use your creative gifts to inspire the world.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Hey, this has been Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall. That's Beth Kuchenberger. And until next week, you have a great Saturday.